Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus, produced in upstate New York for WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. Player Nicole Mitchell performs with the International Contemporary Ensemble on Thursday, March 30th, inside of Miller Theater at Columbia University in New York City. For more information, millertheater.com/events. Saxophonist Emmanuel Wilkins' 2023 tour continues on Thursday, March 30th, at the Outpost in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Friday, March 31st, at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., and on Saturday, April 1st, at the Earshot Jazz Festival in Seattle, Washington. For more information, emmanuelwilkins.com. On Friday, March 31st, multi-reed player David Boyce and friends are at Medicine for Nightmares Bookstore and Gallery in San Francisco, California. For more information, medicinefornightmares.com/events. At Birdland in New York City, inside of Birdland Jazz Club, on Sunday, April 2nd, the Erica Seguin and Sean Baker Orchestra. And inside of Birdland Theater, on Thursday, March 30th, vocalist Ariana Niekrug. March 31st through April 2nd, vocalist Emily Claire Barlow. And on Monday, April 3rd, trombonist Nick Finzer in an album release performance. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. This Friday and Saturday night, March 31st and April 1st at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York, guitarist John Pizzarelli and his trio for two sets. And on Sunday, April 2nd, the Edu Ribeiro Brazilian Trio, also for two sets. For more information, jazzforumarts.org. These events are happening on Saturday, April 1st. At Constellation in Chicago, Illinois, vibraphonist Jason Adashewicz's Sunrooms. For more information, constellation-chicago.com. As part of the Wayward Music Series in Seattle, Washington, new solo works for violin, electronics, and voice from violinist Luke Fitzpatrick in a presentation titled The Light Strikes. For more information, waywardmusic.org. Arts at the Armory Spotlight Series in Somerville, Massachusetts presents guitarist John Schofield. For more information, artsatthearmory.org. And pianist Bennett Pastor and his understated trio perform at Maureen's Jazz Cellar in Nyack, New York. For more information, maureensjazzcellar.com. On Sunday, April 2nd, saxophonist Ingrid Lobrock, drummer Tom Rainey, bassist Brandon Lopez, and guitarist Joe Morris perform at Real Arts Way in Hartford, Connecticut. For more information, realartsway.org. At Shift in Brooklyn, New York, on Sunday, April 2nd, pianist Dave Burrell, and on Sunday, April 9th, pianist Sylvie Cavoursier. For more information, 411kent.org/shift. And bassist John Menigan performs at the Senate Garage in Kingston, New York, with the group Sound Embrace, on Thursday, April 6th. For more information, jazzstock.com. And now for upcoming releases. trombonist Michael Deese's The Other Shoe, the music of Greg Hill on Origin. The group Astro Colors Moonlighting, Astro Jazz Volume 1 on Amelia Recordings. Tenor saxophonist Ingrid Lobrock's The Last Quiet Place on Pyroclastic. Guitarist Jeff Richmond's XYZ on Blue Canoe. And composer Christopher Butterfield's Souvenir on Redshift. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. My guests during today's show are all involved in Jazz Ahead, a trade fair and festival being organized in Bremen, Germany, April 27th through the 30th. Conversation is with members of the Montreal-based septet The Greenhouse Ensemble, vocalist Roxanne Reddy, drummer Simon DeRozier, and pianist Christophe Magnan Bossé. Their debut release that came out in March is titled Ré des Chaussées. So I want to thank the three of you for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Our pleasure.
You're all from different parts of Quebec, Canada. How did you meet? When did you meet? And once you revealed your musical sides to each other, what were some of the similarities that eventually brought you together as the Greenhouse Ensemble?
Actually, that's very interesting. We are from different parts of Quebec, but we have also very different backgrounds in music. And actually we met during our studies at Montreal University. We were all in different places in our paths. Yeah, in our paths. But yeah, so we were just put together in a combo. And I think at first we were all pretty unsettled by the instrumentation that we created. You know, we had a voice, a violin, and a trumpet. And the first time we met, we decided to do a round of presentations and say which artists we listened to and what we wanted from this combo. And actually, we all bonded over Pat Metheny. It was like a very common interest. So we started by making Pat Metheny covers. And you know, 4 months later, when the school was over, we just, you know, we wanted to continue because there was a spark between us. So we just decided to continue playing music together. And we actually found out quite later that we had also other influences in common, such as, you know, folk, like Quebec folk bands, which we did not bring up at the start because it was not like jazz, you know. But in the end, we just found out that we all had similar tastes in music.
Okay. So of the three of you who I'm looking at right now, I have Roxanne, Simon, and Christophe. Of the three of you, who composes?
Actually, we all compose, basically. We're not really a band in the traditional term. We're more of a collective. When you think of it, we're seven artists, each with his or her own musical career, you know. And we all have our influences. we all compose, we all arrange, and you know, it's not really a leader versus side people situation. It's really we're all equally involved in the project.
Okay. The Greenhouse Ensemble expresses itself in six compositions on its debut release.
It's a rez-de-chaussée in French. You might say rez-de-chaussée.
Yeah, I guess.
I'll take the way you said it. That's so much better than me. Though the ensemble formed in 2019, the momentum towards its release built up quickly. 2020 Radio Canada performance of guitarist Pat Metheny's First Circle. Grants from the Conseil des Arts de Montréal and the Canada Council for the Arts in 2021 and 2022, respectively. The release of the single Medina a month before the release of the full album, and now an appearance at Jazz Ahead, which we'll speak about later in this interview. Would the three of you please give us the essence of this release? Why don't we start with Roxanne?
Well, as you might know, rez-de-chaussée means ground floor. So I think all of this is just a way for us to build foundations on which we'll further on, like, continue to compose for the ensemble and play and stuff. So this is our presentation. It's like our introduction into the jazz world.
Mm-hmm. I would add that the word rez-de-chaussée, it means a ground floor. I like the humble aspect of it. It's like the starting point. I mean, the album is not called like a sky level. I don't know. You know, it's just rez-de-chaussée, ground floor. It's the beginning of everything, and I like the humble aspect of it, that we just present ourselves to the Montreal and I'd say national and even international jazz scene, and we're very humble about it. And yeah,
and we like you know the to think of the ensemble as a home. You know, the theme of the house is quite you know, present in our branding, and you know, with the name of the band also. So you know, it's like a place for us to feel, you know, comfortable experimenting, trying new things, and
as this has all happened at the pace that it has, how has this changed your projections for your next project? What will it be and when?
That's a very good question. And I'm a bit anxious about, you know, restarting the whole cycle once again, composing, going to a studio, going through a whole bunch of emails, you know, everything. But how do I see the future? I would say personally, I will have one of my composition on the next album. That's a very important goal for me, because I don't compose yet. But I think we'll just show present our show most often. Comment dire le plus souvent possible?
As possible.
Yeah, well, most often as possible, and then, you know, make some changes with the feedback we have. Mm-hmm. And then maybe try some new ways, maybe a collective composition, because the way we work, someone brings a composition, then we arrange it. But, you know, creating something, the whole seven together, we didn't do that yet. And I think that would be interesting.
I was just going to add that we have already some new music, like the show we made for the release, and the shows we're trying to organize right now. They're full-time shows. It's like an hour and a half of music. So we have actually stuff to be record. We could record another EP right now, but we're trying to gather more music in order to make one full-length album. Of course, you were talking about how the first album was made. We cannot not mention COVID. It had a big influence on the time we spent on this album. For the worst and the better. I mean, we had more time in our lives, but also everything was kind of ralenti.
Yeah, everything was slowed down.
So we probably will make the next project in a bit shorter time frame. But I think we're very excited. Right now, we're just letting the dust settle from the first album. We'll make shows and stuff. But I think soon enough, we'll get the machine going for a second project.
Yeah, and we'll probably be better at writing for the ensemble ourselves, you know, because it was kind of a first time deal for us with this instrumentation. You know, it worked in the end. I think the album is good, but you know, for the second release, I think it's just going to be even better because we've accustomed to working with this the parameters of our ensemble, and we love like the sound it creates.
Mm-hmm. And also in a more, you know, we're seven artists all in different places in our lives and careers, and for many of us it was a first project that was released, so every small decision as to is the lettering on this document too tall or stuff like that, since we're seven people and we're all equal in this project, each decision was like we all had like seven heads working on each small decision. So I guess for the next project, since we'll all have experienced this, we might organize it better and have better task management. So I think it'll be a bit less complicated.
I would add that I was very worried when we started recording this album. I was very worried about the, you know, the cohesion and the goal to make a cohesive album, because each people brings his composition and we arrange it, but we have all different backgrounds. And I was scared that the final result would be just a weird melting pot of influences. But in the end, I'm very glad we have something that sound cohesive. I'm looking for a synonym, but yeah, cohesive, I think is the word. And I think in the future, this cohesion will be even more present, better. Yeah.
Melodic lines for different instruments with different timbres. In your case, the violin, the trumpet, and the voice is commonplace in contemporary jazz and improvisational music. Some consider it a natural evolution of the music as we become more culturally connected. Some consider it sacrilege. You know, it should never be done. How can you bring a bagpipe into a jazz combo? Right?
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges in composing and creating distinction and equity among those instruments? Let's hear from Christoph.
Well, to be honest, I'd like to answer that question very much, but I'm the only one actually in the band that does not compose yet. So I'm not the best placed here to answer that, but I'm going to answer the next one.
Okay,
I'm not yet a composer. I'm working on it. Promise.
Okay. So the other two, so everyone's putting the pressure on you.
No. I think I'm the one putting the most pressure on me.
Definitely.
that's my cross to bear.
Okay, Roxanne, would you like to take this?
Yeah,
up?
Of course. Well, I think I'm the best person in Austria since Simon plays drums in the band. So. Well, he does write for the melodic instruments, but to answer your question, I think everything in the band comes very naturally. I would say the way we work most of the time is that someone brings up a skeleton of a composition with already an idea of which instrument that person hears, playing like the melody and stuff, and then we build on it. And for the solos, it's very like, oh, I think I'd like a solo in that tune and stuff like that. So it's very, you know, natural. And from like since the beginning, everything's been a surprise with this band. Everything's been like, you know, when things have to work, they work. So it's, I mean, everything's just gone right with us. Like we are able to communicate, and somehow each of the songs that we've been brought by each members of the band, like it's it had an equilibrium. You know, it was equity. I don't know that word. It's a, you know, it was equal. It was equal. Like each person had their time to shine. And you know, as I said, we all bring skeletons. So we all arrange together. So sometimes we're like, oh, I'd like this part to be more pianistic or stuff. So then we build on it. So it creates kind of, that's why we're an ensemble and not just, you know, musicians playing together. So that's, yeah. And, you know, for the people who say that we can't bring a bagpipe in jazz, I think we're over that since we have a violin and a voice, you know, and we studied in school. So we've been through a lot of, you know, of judgment already, you know, since some institutions are quite anchored in past beliefs that, you know, jazz is for saxophonists and jazz has been dead since 1959, you know. We just do our stuff. Even if people are like, oh, this is not jazz, we don't care. It's like we improvise together, we make music for the sounds that we have. And that's where we live. We sleep fine at night.
Yeah. And I'd like to add.
Yes, please, Simon.
Yes, I'd like to add that even if it may sound, you know, bizarre to have violin, trumpet, and voice, it's actually a combination that you know, can sound like familiar, because you know, with the voice, you know, who scats. Mixed with the trumpet, a lot of people say that the voice is is the instrument most closely associated with the voice in terms of brass instruments, because they're similar in terms of dynamics you can input. And the violin, we also have a guitar, you know, we don't always say it like it is in melodic instrument, but it can be melodic, the guitar. And you know, with the guitar mixed with the violin, we get a very like a Mahavishnu orchestra like sound. So it's nothing really unheard of. We can always have some different combinations to make it work somehow.
Sounds like a very democratic process that you
have. Oh yeah, it is.
Yes. With its upsides and downsides.
Well, I have to tell the three of you, I enjoyed your video for the composition, The Cost of Lies.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You really do live your work. I mean, this video was recorded in a greenhouse, yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you all share a connection with and or a sensitivity to plant life and the environment?
Yeah, probably that's probably why we came up with this kind of branding / visual thing with plants. I actually do have a lot of plants here. You can't see it, but behind my my screen, I got a lot. And I think everybody, you got plants, right?
Yeah.
She got two. Well, and we thought that with our kind of organic sound, in this album, there's not a lot of actually there just isn't any synthesizers or more like a electric weird instruments. We got this sound kind of grounded, I don't know how to say, and I think it's the plants and greenhouse thing, visual branding is kind of connected with the music we do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that fits.
And yeah. I'd add also that we're very sensible to the ecological situation. So, and we know, you know, music touring bands is sometimes hard for the environment. So we try to be as ecological as possible. And like we've made our business cards on seed cards that are biodegradable, and it makes like this little flowers.
So it's a business card, but when you bury it and water it, it grows
into a plant, wild
flowers. Yeah, it's cool.
So, you know, it's little steps, but we're trying to, I think our music is very, as you said, organic, and we want everything in the project to feel as organic.
So, Simon, Christoph, and Roxanne, before we go any further, would you mention the other four members of your ensemble?
Yeah, of course. We got William Lucier, who plays trumpet. We got Camille Brousseau, who plays the violin. Louis-Martin Ruet, who plays the guitars. And Benjamin Lavoie de Boyon, who plays the bass.
Don't forget to tell your other bandmates that they are missing a fantastic time here right now.
Yeah. All right. We'll let them know.
So you three. The Greenhouse Ensemble is preparing for Jazz Ahead next month in Bremen, Germany. I'm assuming that this is your debut at this trade fair and festival as the Greenhouse Ensemble. Yes.
Yeah, actually, we're not playing in Jazz Ahead. We're only presenting the project as co-exhibitor of the Quebec stand there.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll have meetings with the festivals organizers, and we're trying to get somebody to book us internationally. So.
And this goes right into my question, though it's a real obvious one. I'd like you to answer it. What benefits do you believe there are in attending?
Well, it's our first attendance. I think, first of all, it's very important to know how it works in order to be able to be part of this international community. You know, something I think is very important for us is actually to get to know the other people from Quebec, Canada, that are going to be there, because sometimes those people are hard to get to know here, you know, people who represent labels and media and other artists. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity to create a connection with those people, and also, you know, just meet agents and, as I said, festival organizers from around the globe, in order to create like first bonds, so that when the time is right, I can just communicate with those people and say, oh, so here's where the Greenhouse Ensemble is right now, and here's our new release. And in a few months or years, maybe create a more intimate connection with some of those people to be able to actually tour internationally. Our music is online and it's great, and people from everywhere in the world can listen to it, but they probably don't know we exist. So that's a great occasion for us to be like, hey, so here's the Greenhouse Ensemble, go give it a listen, and you know, make it known step by step by one people and then two people and then the whole world.
Yes, exactly. As we start to wrap up this interview, I want to give you each the last word. Is there a question I haven't asked you? Is there something you'd like to tell our listeners? I'd like to start with Christoph, because he has so much to say.
Oh my God. One thing I would add about the previous question is that the fact that we don't have any or almost no lyrics on this music can, I mean, helps this music to get through with an international market. Let's say that I'm not kind of business oriented wise, but you know, it can have a universal reach. And this is a similarity with Pat Metheny Group's music, that they added vocals but with no lyrics, and we use the vocal as an instrument. And I think Roxanne's presence at Jazz Ahead, because she's the lucky one going to Jazz Ahead, could really push forward this project.
Simon.
Yes. So I would just encourage people to discover us. I believe in us. I believe in the project we have come forward with. I think the album is, I mean, I've heard it a lot, so I may be a bit, annoyed because we've worked on it for like 2 years, but I think that with objectivity, you know, subjectivity, sorry. I think it's the music is worth the effort, or yeah, mm-hmm. I would just like to encourage people to go and discover us.
Cool. And Roxanne, is there a reason why you're not bringing the others or to Jazz Ahead?
It's not my decision. also, you know, the flight costs a lot of money.
Yes, I understand.
But so. I'm very proud to be presenting for the Greenhouse Ensemble there. And, you know, I think we've been talking about what we're going to do next, you know, since the album is now released and stuff. And we had our big release show in Montreal on March 8th. And I think jazz is live music. So I think the album is great, but I think it's even greater live because there's where all the real connections are between us and stuff. So I'm very glad to be going to Jazz Ahead to present this as a show, you know, because I think it's important to talk about the album and stuff. So, but we are humans, and the way we communicate through music is even more sensible on stage. So I think, yeah, I'm eager to play a lot with this group.
Live is where the magic happens. And that's a comment I hear often from people who are not necessarily very familiar with jazz. It's like, yeah, I like jazz, but you know, an album, yeah, cool. But seeing a show, that's something special, you know, seeing the musician interplay and that kind of thing. So,
and knowing that what you're hearing, like you have to be there because that's the only time it will sound that way.
Mm-hmm.
That was my interview with members of the Greenhouse Ensemble. For more information, greenhouse-ensemble.com. Listening to Situation Fluxus. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com. For more information about the show, jazzfluxus.com. My interview is with Jeff Levinson, Grammy-recognized producer, executive, educator, and journalist specializing in jazz and pop. Somehow, he's also involved in this year's Jazz Ahead. So, Jeff, I want to thank you for joining me on Situation Fluxus.
My great pleasure to be with you once again.
Once again, yes. So, Jeff, the last time we saw each other was at the Blue Note Jazz Club in New York City. To an intimate crowd of journalists, fans, and friends, you introduced one of the founders of Jazz Ahead, Peter Schultz, who, along with his co-director, is retiring this year. He gave an overview of Jazz Ahead, being held in April in Bremen, Germany. How did you become the conduit for this event in New York City?
The way I became the conduit for Jazz Ahead is I started attending probably 15 years ago. I took note of the fact that Jazz Ahead was this conference that attracted all members of the jazz ecosystem. It attracted artists and managers and presenters and agents and record labels and journalists from the world over. And they gathered each April. And I was just so impressed by how organized and tidy it was. I felt that this was an organization that was looking to promote not just the future of jazz, but looking to promote a sense of community among both the people who make this music, but then also the people who enable it. So it had a very good feeling to me. I started attending.
Okay. I observed a dual purpose at this shindig. Number one, an introduction to Jazz Ahead, and number two, networking with others in the industry, in this country, and across the pond. What has been the feedback, the outcomes, and some of the actions that have happened since the event? Like, Jeff, like for me, I scored three interviews, and two of them have to do with Jazz Ahead.
Wonderful. So part of the intended and unintended consequence of this particular event was to introduce and highlight the activities, the mission statement of Jazz Ahead, but it's also designed to heighten the interconnectivity among us all. It really is a networking opportunity designed to enable us to meet fellow practitioners within the industry who do various types of things promoting or enabling the music. So since that time, I think it was a successful moment of introduction so that Jazz Ahead could literally step into New York and say, here we are, this is what we do. We invite you to understand us and our mission and then participate in ways that are useful for you.
Saxophonist Ingrid Lobrock introduced her new group, Lilith, at the Blue Note. I so enjoyed the performance. It's one of four commission groups who have toured in different countries to promote Jazz Ahead. What other significance has been attached to these tours?
The notion that there are global partnerships, that there are different territories and geographies that join hands on behalf of elevating jazz to prominence, that's the consequence of all this. What you and I witnessed together at the Blue Note was the American version. In fact, there are three other countries and three other performance strains, all of which should be viewed as evidence of the global community at work. In the States and in North America, you have lots of music going on, represented by the activities up north and then within America and then within Cuba. You have just lots of strains of jazz. So each of those musics can and does find a home for presentation at Jazz Ahead.
In your opinion, which countries do you view as openly willing to accommodate and integrate jazz and improvised music as it evolves through and with other genres?
You know, I can't begin to repeat that question precisely as you worded it, but I will tell you, it is the best question. The notion is that every territory is contributing a stylistic ingredient. And you may have remembered that I like to use the term hyphenated musics, hyphenated jazz. And so the question about which country, in fact, every country, every cultural strain finds its way into what we will conveniently call the jazz aesthetic. But in fact, this represents evolution, growth, and kind of a dynamic evidence that jazz is a breathing, living organism. So in fact, I could not cite any particular culture that is most likely to lend its voice to the expansion of jazz. What Jazz Ahead does is it enables anybody to witness this kind of activity coming from all sources imaginable. I have seen and heard the influence of musics from all countries show up in jazz. This, for me, is kind of the evidence of Darwin's theories of evolution. And I feel very strongly that this points us in the direction of a very positive and optimistic view that jazz's future is being shaped right now at this time, and Jazz Ahead is helping to promote that.
Fear is that it is being unshaped here in the United States. I'm disappointed in my fellow programmers who, I don't know, they give some pretty lame excuses why they won't play a certain type of music. Some of it I find quite racist.
This is an enormous conversation, and the presence of a militant jazz police has always been present. I entered this business in the 70s. This question or this debate was there then, and it remains now. And the fact is that the issues relating to the creation and origination of the music, they're not separated. They're not separable from politics, from sociology, from cultural identity, from the music. It's all in there. So I think there's always been a push and pull among jazz fans regarding what to accept or what to define as jazz, what to resist, what to fight against. My own view in general is that we should enjoy generosity of spirit. And the fact is that when bebop presented itself, it pissed off a lot of people, a lot of traditionalists. And look now, bebop is the lingua franca of jazz. So indeed, there are many musics that will enter into this discussion that we may not be familiar with. And in fact, at Jazz Ahead, much of that music I'm not familiar with on a personal from a personal note here, but you must embrace it. I mean, that's what it means to sanction and sponsor art and the making of art and the expression of people. And if you get a little bit too militant, a little bit too myopic, a little bit too racist, a little bit too judgmental. The only possible consequence for that is to suppress and tamp down the human spirit. And as you can imagine, I'm not quite in favor of that.
Yeah. As a trade fair and a conference and a showcase festival, where do you place Jazz Ahead in the, and I'm going to use your word, ecosystem of jazz and improvised music presentation? Like I said, I had never heard of Jazz Ahead until I came down to New York in January.
It's the world's foremost gathering of jazz folk. In the States, there had been a yearly conference called the International Association of Jazz Educators, IAJE, and that had gone through a number of different configurations. However, it was founded on a very prescribed guideline of either education or record label activity, and it was largely unshaped, was my experience. Over the years, it had not quite found its footing, especially as the music industry had either evolved or devolved over the years. So its replacement, actually, is Jazz Ahead, which has a far greater sense of opening its arms, including the engagement of all members of this ecosystem, pretty much without prejudice. So the only answer I have is that Jazz Ahead is a one-of-a-kind conference that stands at the top of the pyramid for gatherings of this kind.
What I've read, Jeff, is that this year's festival programming will run concurrently with the trade fair. I'm assuming you'll be in attendance.
Oh, yes. And the festival programming, this system of juried showcases, is incredibly rigorous. As a judge in the past, I remember one year I had to judge 436 groups. And I had to whittle my choices down to, I think, 12. And it was an enormous task. I mean, it tested my endurance, my strength, my stamina. But moreover, what came out of it was that there was a wealth of vital, strong, important music that was showing up, which totally convinced me that, you know, the future is in good hands here. And Jazz Ahead's responsibility is to help curate and nurture it. So the showcases, the music, the conference, the convention, the activities, it's all sort of choreographed in a four-day period where you can move in and out of the system based on your own interests, your own desire, your own stamina. And there's a lot there.
So this year, are you just a fly on the wall, or are you representing anyone? Are you on a panel?
No, I represent Jazz Ahead to North America and internationally to some degree. So I'm always a fly on the wall, and I'm never a fly on the wall. just to offer you a confusing answer. You know, my role is to assess, measure, respond to the content that has been provided and shaped this year, but then also to pull myself back and look at the wide angle shot on the event itself. Is it being run well? Is it a satisfactory production for its guests and its visitors? Does it fulfill the mandate and the mission statement of Jazz Ahead itself? So I very much consider my role as that of an insider and an outsider simultaneously, so that I'm in a position to process what I'm getting.
That was my interview with producer Jeff Levinson. For more information about Jeff Levinson, jefflevinson.com. And for more information about Jazz Ahead, jazzahead.de/en. And we'll end today's show with two pieces. Saxophonist Ayumi Ishito and her band, The Spacemen, come out next month with their second 577 Records release. It's titled New Cosmic Music Not to Be Messed With. We'll hear Marsh Vocab. And then, blending elements of jazz, psychedelia, and electronica, recalling the influence of late 90s electronic acts like Air, Saint Germain, and Massive Attack, the Canadian ensemble Astrocolor, from their March 27th Amelia Recordings release, Moonlighting, Astro Jazz, Volume 1. We'll hear Bender. We'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus, produced for WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next week for another show. For more information about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or jazzfluxus.com. Thank you.